You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. I think we're live, Nick, and I want to welcome back everybody to another episode of the Chicago Audible Podcast. This is day one of Bears Camp. Practice just ended. We are where, Nick?
We're in, I think, Howie Hall. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Howie Hall. Hopefully here on YouTube you can hear us pretty well. We have to use a separate mic for you guys compared to our podcast recording. Kind of a, what?
Different. It's just different. It's a cool experience, though.
It is. So deal with us. Where people may barge into this hall and they may try to kick us out throughout. But Nick, you want to talk about what we saw today at the first practice of training camp?
Yeah, I think as we were walking out, just out when training camp ended, we were just saying the difference from Mitch Trubisky in day one of this camp compared to last year, the guy just looked sharp. Every ball that was being thrown was to his receivers. If the receivers happened to drop the ball, it wasn't like because of Mitch Trubisky's fault. He was putting it on the money. He looked accurate, looked sharp, looked like he knew the offense. Just completely different turnaround from last year as opposed to this year.
Yeah, no, last year, especially early on in camp, we're very concerned about Mitch Trubisky and his play. But today, from the first throw to his last throw late in practice, every throw besides maybe two were on the money. He was throwing in, you know, rhythm. His timing was impeccable with his receivers, within the offense, within the scheme. Throughout the offseason, that's what Maggie has told us about this team and about Mitch Trubisky, that he's really mastering this offense. And I think we saw that today. Don't you agree?
No, I definitely think we saw a really good outing from the offense in general, even with the second team. Chase Daniel looked pretty well as well. So, I mean, the offense looked good, and that's what you want to see, especially with this defense, with being the defense that it was last year. We want to see the offense kind of take steps in the right direction. And overall, I think the unit had a pretty good day today for day one.
Yeah, absolutely. One last thing on Mitch. I mean, we could probably have a whole podcast about what Mitch did today, but did you see like any improved mechanics? I thought he was using his hips, and we talked about that during the quarterback show, how he doesn't use that completely to his advantage. I thought I saw him, his dropbacks were smooth, how he was stepping up in the pocket looked correct, and just overall his mechanics just seem more polished, more refined.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that as well. And even when there wasn't a receiver open downfield, you know, he did take the check down, which is going to be a reliable target for Mitch Trubisky, whether it was Montgomery, Cohen, a receiver coming on a drag route. He didn't force throws in this practice, which is good to see, especially when, you know, a defense is going to give you those checkdowns at times. So I think you just saw overall mechanics, decision-making, just the way where he put the ball, it was just improved from last year to this year.
It was. And on top of that, we talked about the chemistry and the importance of the chemistry between he and Allen Robinson. And that also came to fruition a couple times today. And again, it's day one. They're not wearing pads. But to see those two connect, and then even off to the side when the twos and the threes are out there, I saw that they were having some one-on-one conversations. Even Matt Nagy would come in and discuss with them something. So obviously, I think they know the importance of this as well, really trying to hit that home. And, I mean, really good results here for day one. Any final thoughts about Trubisky? I don't think we need to talk about really Chase Daniel or Tyler Bray, even though I thought Bray looked pretty well today for someone who, again, is probably going back on a practice squad. That's his spot. But overall, all three quarterbacks look like, you know, this is the system. They know the system, which we know that from the backups. They've been in it for quite some time now. But overall, it just seemed like they're smooth, they're crisp, and nothing was kind of being held up by them.
Yeah, no, it's encouraging to see, even if it's only day one, you want to see this offense come out and do what they did today, make completions, easy completions, get the ball to the receivers. And they did a pretty good job with that overall.
One last thing I noticed, two-minute drills. Did you see how quick they were getting the call in and they were getting the play out and getting lined up? That was something last year they had a very difficult time getting, especially late in the games, that two-minute drill. Now, it did work in the playoffs fairly well, but to see how quickly that they can get those plays calls in, how quickly everyone can get lined up and get the snap off in that two-minute drill, I think that's why the Bears, until the defense decided to change otherwise, which we'll talk about that in a moment, they did a really good job at the two-minute drill overall, at least moving the ball down the field.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And again, like you mentioned, that defense, they did hold up a little bit in the end, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
All right, let's shift. Stay in the backfield, though. Let's talk about the running backs. What's some of your just general big-picture takeaways from that unit today?
Yeah, so I had a pretty good vantage point from where I was watching practice, and we had the running backs just do some ladder drills and just working on their lateral movements and their footwork. The entire group, and Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace alluded to this in their press conference in Decatur, they said that that group is a very strong one. And I saw that from all the running backs, from Tariq Cohen, who led the group, to Kareth White, who was usually the last one in the group repping. They just look smooth in their cuts and their drills, and from just the running backs coach, he liked what he saw from them. And I think that's going to be great for this offense, because whether it's a Ryan Nall who has to be asked to maybe rep in the preseason, or Kareth White or David Montgomery who's going to get playing time, you want to be able to rely on each one of those guys, and I thought they looked pretty good today.
They did, and again, with it being day one, just like last year, the Bears keep us on our toes in terms of who's lining up where, and then who's lining up with the ones, who's lining up with the twos. I saw David Montgomery today lining up with the ones, twos, and threes, which, again, he's a rookie. He's going to have to earn his way through, but he did get plenty of reps in with Mitch today. I know people are definitely wanting to know what David Montgomery did in his first practice as a Chicago Bear here in camp. And at least for me, two things that stood out. Number one, his ability to change direction on the field in a hurry. Just one move, and he's, you know, in an entirely different direction. And, of course, his ability to either miss contact. And even though there weren't any pads today, he was not shying away from contact at all. So, for me, David Montgomery had a very strong day. Started off rough. I think the first time I noticed, he had a drop.
Yep.
But he and Mitch reworked that drill, and they were able to correct it. But overall, David Montgomery impressed me. What about you?
Yeah, and so you actually alluded to it. Even though they weren't in pads, you could tell David Montgomery wanted to be. There were a couple of times where he's running down the sideline and he's doing those juke moves at the end, and Joel Ebuniwe is like running into him. He can feel the contact. And so did Kyle Fuller on one of the occasions. But I think once we see the pads, which should come on tomorrow, then we're going to really see what David Montgomery can do. But I think overall, a solid practice. It was just the one drop he had initially, but he looked smooth in and out of his breaks, similar to what you saw at Iowa State, obviously the pads there. But tomorrow we're going to really see what David Montgomery is about.
What about Mike Davis? He's someone, too, that impressed. I think he had a lot more reps with the ones today than I thought. I thought they may have, like, you know, warm him up, but instantly today it was he and Tariq Cohen, and even a lot of two-back sets with both of them on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what, you know, is going to be in this offense now, where you can have that 21 personnel more often on the field, because you don't know what's going to happen with these running backs. And, yeah, Mike Davis, look, Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, they've been alluding to that Mike Davis is a big part of their system. They like him here. And you saw on the practice field, he looked smooth as well. I think the running backs, like I said, the running backs had a really good day today, and that's from the bottom to the top of that group. And Mike Davis, again, a guy that was repping with the ones, twos, and that 21 personnel. I think that's what you're going to see more often from Matt Nagy in this offense this year.
Yep, and then, of course, Tariq Cohen. I think there's nothing I can say about what he did today that you listening at home don't already know. He looked fast. He's speedy. He was lining up wide half of the time with Mike Davis in the backfield as well. But one thing I liked was 7-on-7 or even some we didn't get a lot of 1-on-1s today. I was looking forward to that, but I didn't really see that come to fruition. But the matchup between Tariq Cohen and Roquan Smith, two of the most athletic guys on this roster, and sometimes on 7-on-7, Roquan Smith, you can tell how quick he is because he's keeping up with Tariq Cohen in space. If that just gives you any sort of idea of what Roquan brings to the table. Were you watching that as much as I was? Because we were separated during camp.
So, you know, I didn't see as much of that. But on my end, whenever Tariq Cohen had a chance to just say hi to the crowd, he definitely did. He's always dancing. He has so much energy. When they were doing those footwork drills in the ladders, Tariq Cohen's waving at the crowd. People love that. And I think they love the energy that he brings to camp. He's just someone that obviously people want to be around, want to watch. He can make a big play happen at any moment. But I think that's what's really cool about Tariq Cohen and just having him in training camp. He's always someone that you have to watch out for.
Right. He was the first Bear on the field today for practice. And I think that may be trying to say sorry a little bit for that slingshot driving the other day, because as I heard from the reporters, Nagy was not really excited about his decision to go ahead and do that. So for him to be the first one on the field today, I think, is sort of either repercussion or him trying to make good of that mistake. I don't think we need to get into that. But just my opinion on the matter, and I know we use our opinion sometimes on this show, but we try to be factual. But yeah, Tariq Cohen, first player on the field. I always like to take a note of who that is each and every day. Anything else on the back today? Or do you want to move on to wide receivers?
I think it's good. We hit on – look, again, running backs had a good day. But, yeah, the wide receiver group, I thought, you know – was pretty interesting. When we watched, it was a new drill that they implemented in practice today, where it was the one-on-one, and everybody, the whole entire team is kind of watching this. And of course, Allen Robinson is the guy that kind of goes out and is going to be the representative for the offense Mr. Trubisky's thrown to. And Allen Robinson lined up against Kyle Fuller on that left sideline, beat him on a vertical route, and then after that, the defense has to do push-ups. But I think that's how you should. Matt Nagy said that Allen Robinson was one of the top players he has ever coached. Mm-hmm. And you see that he's the one that's leading this group, who they're going to rely on. And I think Allen Robinson overall had a pretty good day today. He was lining up on the outside in the slot, was going in motion at times. And I think that's what you're going to expect from Matt Nagy's offense, just the wide receivers in general.
Right. No, what Nick's alluding to about these one-on-one drills, it wasn't a true one-on-one drill when everyone gets a turn in between some other positional or team drills. They would have... first time up was Fuller versus, of course, you just said it, Robinson. Robinson won that battle, so then the defense had to do some up-downs. And then later in practice, they flipped it, but it was the second guys. It was Taylor Gabriel versus Prince Mukamara. That was, I think, a miscommunication between the two, Trubisky and Turbo, why it was incomplete. So then the offense, including the coaches, had to do the up-downs as well. So it's a small competition built inside of practice, which I like a lot.
That was awesome.
Exactly. It really builds... team chemistry, accountability for either side of the ball, one way or the other, and it's all fun at the end of the day.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think, I hope we see a lot more of that, seeing which guy represents each side of the offense or defense, because that is a very competitive drill. Mm-hmm. You know, each side is wanting to win it, and then obviously there are some push-ups to be had afterwards if you don't win.
I'm telling you, there were up-downs. They weren't push-ups.
Up-down, push-ups.
Not the same thing.
They're both strangers.
They are. All right, so looking elsewhere at the receivers today, of course, none from the rookies, no Ridley, no Emmanuel Hall today.
Nope.
They were still out with their injuries, but we got to see a lot of Anthony Miller back in action. He looked like he hasn't skipped a beat. There's one time where I think Trubisky and he weren't able to connect. Felt like a little bit of last year. I was sitting next to Jonathan Wood. If you don't follow him on Twitter, definitely check him out. And he noticed that. He's like, oh, they're just like last year, no chemistry. And I was like, well, remember, Anthony Miller was out all of OTAs with rehabbing from his shoulder surgery. So they still have some time to, you know, rebuild that chemistry and build upon what they established last year. But when you're looking at Miller, I thought Javon Wims had a really good practice today, a few very strong catches. And then, of course, Taylor Gabriel had that deep touchdown as well today. So all the skilled positions, they had their flashes here and there. What about you? Any big picture takeaways from those guys?
Yeah, no, I think they overall as a group for the wide receivers, they had a pretty solid day. I noticed that a little on the 7-on-7s, I thought Anthony Miller was a little quieter. Again, he was going against Buster Screen and Duke Shelley for the most part, but I think it was Miller on the right sideline against maybe the second or third string defense, caught a nice touchdown in the back right corner of the end zone there. And that's what you expect to see from Anthony Miller, just being the crisp route runner and the competitor that he is. But I think overall, like you said, these wide receivers, for the most part, did their job. And Javon Wims, I think it's going to be a guy, especially with the other two rookies not practicing right now, needs to take advantage of these reps. And I think for the most part, he did today.
See, there's a name we haven't mentioned yet, but he was fairly active, at least early on in practice, and that's Cordarrelle Patterson. During 7-on-7, I saw a lot of Trubisky going to him, a lot of short routes, something he did in New England because he's really good at getting yards after the catch. But no big plays from Patterson, but it did seem like they're really working him into the offense, building a connection between Trubisky and, of course, Patterson. So for me, nothing splashy, nothing super flashy as well from Patterson, but you can see that they are really trying to work him into this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, a guy that we also got to give some love to is Tanner Gentry. He had a nice catch down the left sideline, beat the seventh-round pick, Stephen Denmark. It wasn't even close. He beat him pretty bad, and I think that may arguably be one of the better plays in camp today. Tanner Gentry, again, this is training camp. Of course you're going to see Tanner Gentry make plays, but he did make a nice one on that left sideline against Stephen Denmark.
You know, it's August when we're talking about highlight plays from Tanner Gentry. It's pretty much tradition at this point.
Absolutely.
All right, anything else on the wideouts? I think that pretty much wraps it for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, a good day from them, a good day from the offense in general.
Yep. All right, move over. Let's talk tight end here.
Yep.
My first thing that I noticed today, Bradley Soule. Mm-hmm. He looks like a tight end. I thought there's no way in hell that he's going to come out here training camp day one and look like a tight end. But he slimmed down. He looks a little bit more bulky, but like in a good way. And he's running out there routes. He looks fluid. Maybe not as quick as some of the other guys, but I would say sneakily more faster than I thought he was going to be today. What about you?
Yeah, no, that was the first guy I wanted to, you know, find on the practice field, number 85.
I thought it was Daniel Brown.
No, that's what I thought, but I'm like, Daniel Brown is not that big. And that, so just watching him, he was more fluid than I expected when he was running routes. He was catching, extending his hands out towards the ball, which is great to see from a guy that's transitioning to a new position. And what was really, really cool and great to see from Sal, it was on the second field away from everybody, where he's just kind of in the end zone pacing back and forth, and the quarterbacks have an option to either throw in the nets or throw to Bradley Sal, and he's just there kind of working. And there wasn't an opportunity that he just dropped the pass, got a little frustrated, kicked the ball, but you see that he's trying to put in the extra reps, the work to try and just get better at this position. Obviously, it's no guarantee that he makes it, but it's nice to see that he's putting in the work wherever he can to try and get in those reps and just be the best tight end that he can be.
I mean, they already know he's the best blocking tight end on the team. So the fact that he's putting all the reps to enhance his receiving game makes all the sense to me. I think he's has a pretty good shot at making this team personally. It just seems like, because there are even extra reps between Trubisky and, of course, Sal as well, like at the end of some of the early stuff. Not one-on-ones, but just quarterbacks working with tight ends or working with receivers. At the end, it was always Sal going last and having one extra rep than all the other guys with Trubisky. To me, says a lot about what their plans for him. Again, he's not going to be a big threat in this offense, but a viable one. Or, you know, plan D is still not a bad thing for him. Looking elsewhere, of course, you had Trey Burton. He wasn't fully active. I would say he was off and on today. They're taking it easy again, coming back from the hernia surgery. They're not going to just throw him into the fire here day one. But Adam Shaheen, too, they took it easy with him. Given his injury history, I'm not going to be opposed, but I was still hoping to see more out of him today. The one thing I did notice, it wasn't even on the field, but just like Sal, he seemed more slim. He looked a little bit more condensed. I mean, he's always been a little chunky, I would say, in a way. Chunky and clunky, that's Adam Shaheen for you. But today he seemed a little bit more slimmed down. And then going down the roster, at least in my head, and I'll give it back to you. I was surprised that Ian Bunting had more reps during the two-minute drill later in practice over a Dax Raymond, working with the ones even. And Ben Broniker, too, had some really nice plays. A couple, even on the ground, he was able to be found for some receptions. So any other guys in the tight end group stand out for you?
You know, Ben Broniker, because one, I was looking for just, you know, at a, I guess just being natural, looking for 84, but that's Cordarrelle Patterson now. So 82, a number switch for Ben Broniker. But I thought he kind of stood out because with Trey Burton being out and kind of easing in to practicing again, you saw him utilize a little bit more. And I was just kind of trying to draw up some of the formations that the Bears had. You're noticing that this tight end's on in line, on the left side, out wide. Like, there's no guaranteed spot for any of these positions, and that's what's really cool about Matt Nagy's offense. But just kind of keying on to Ben Broniker, he made the opportunities when they were presented to him, like you said, catching balls when he was even on the ground. But I think that's what you expect to see out of a guy, especially when Trey Burton's on a full go, and obviously he's going to be the number one tight end. But you got to be able to rely on Ben Broniker as well.
Yeah, I think the Bears are doing this correctly because they know what they have in Shaheen. At least they hope that maybe it's a little bit more than what we've seen. Mm-hmm. They know what they have in Trey Burton. So to give some of these other guys these early reps in practice to really get some tape on them, to really see what they can do. And of course, you can kind of set the bar, right? This is where they were today. Let's see where all these guys progress by the end of camp. And with the tight end group, I think that's a good way to go about it, because at the bottom end of the depth chart, there's so many questions. It could really can go one way or the other. So they really need to make sure they give these guys every chance they can to kind of make their case to make this roster.
Yeah.
All right. Offensive line?
Offensive line. And, you know, as I was watching the offense, I mean, obviously a big takeaway for me is just watching James Daniels at the center position now. And honestly, you wouldn't notice that there was a position change, to be completely honest. Cody Whitehair obviously being the center before him, but it was fluid. I don't know if there was any missed snaps or anything like that, because, again, the offense looked pretty smooth today. And there were times where Khalil Mack was enforcing his will, and obviously that's against that offensive line. But for the most part, these quarterbacks had time to throw, and, again, you would not notice a difference with James Daniel at center if it was Cody Whitehair there, but for the most part, they did their job there.
Yep. Looking at the offensive line, you talked about it, position switch. I forgot about it. Like, as soon as like James Daniels came out today, I saw him practicing his gun snap. I was like, oh, yeah, we got to watch this. And that was the last thing on my mind throughout the entire practice. So, honestly, I think this is going to be a very smooth transition unless something else arises. But today was a very, I think, a good example of what's to come in terms of that. Looking elsewhere, I think both tackles struggled today. But they have a lot of talent to go up against in Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd.
It's not an easy task for sure. It's only, we were talking about, it's only going to make these guys better that they're, you know, going against a Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack on a daily basis, snap by snap basis. Yeah. So, I mean, again, you can take it either way. You would like to see them hold up a little bit better, but they are going against some pretty good pass rushers.
I mean, honestly, when you're Leno Jr. and of course, when you're over there and you're Bobby Massey, when it comes to Sundays, they're going to be like, oh, good. Thank God. Yeah. It's not Khalil Mack. It's not Leonard Floyd. Their job should be easier on game day, which, I mean, is a great, not even a problem. It's a great situation to have here as the Chicago Bears. One thing on the second string offensive line that I noticed that surprised me. Alex Bars was the second string guard opposite Ted Larson. And then his collegiate teammate, Mustafer, was the second string center. So, again, I know that if worst case scenario ever happened, they would probably want to go ahead and bring, you know, if Daniels had to move over or bring Cody Whitehair back in, whatever way that would happen. But the guy playing with the second team offense at center was Sam Mustafer, I think is his full name, from Notre Dame, the undrafted free agent. So we'll see if the Harry Hiestand connection between those two is going to earn either a roster spots or a practice squad bid. But to see them already working with the twos and not the threes as undrafted free agents, I think that's a pretty good sign for those guys.
I think the Harry Hiestand connection really helps those guys in trying to move up the step chart, because obviously having a connection to those guys is going to help you in any, you know, any sort of way. But that is a good way for those guys to get better reps and just kind of move up the step chart.
All right, Nick. Well, it's been fun talking about the Bears offense. And up next, we do need to talk about the Bears defense. But before we do, just a quick timeout. I need to tell you a little bit about how you can get some seats to some games or to any event. Now, getting to your favorite game online can just be far too complicated with hundreds of sites and varying levels of reliability. It's really hard to know who to trust, and that's why we're proud to partner with SeatGeek, because they are the way to go. You know, they do a lot of things that really get me excited compared to some of the other competitors. They rate each ticket by a deal, so you know if you're paying too much. The green dots and the dark green dots especially are the ones that you want to go for. Stay away from anything in the yellow and the red. Those are just overpriced. SeatGeek does a lot to stand out. I love the interactive seat map. I tell you this all the time, Nick, but every time I go on SeatGeek and I'm looking for tickets, you click on them and it shows you what the view should be from that seat. So you know, hey, I can live with that, or that's exactly what I'm looking for. So you're not surprised when you get there on the game. And as you know, everyone here at Chicago Audible, we have the SeatGeek apps on our phones and our devices, and by far the easiest way that we've been able to shop for tickets. Again, we are going to the White Sox game here in a few hours, and SeatGeek is where we were able to purchase those tickets. We were just scrolling through, found the seats we wanted, used that handy-dandy interactive seat chart, made sure we got the biggest green dot deal that we can get, and here we are. We're going to the White Sox game in a couple hours, so if you want to use SeatGeek yourself, we have a sweet deal for you, and it gets a little bit better. If you use our promo code, which is BEARS, B-E-A-R-S, you can get $10 off your first purchase on SeatGeek as well. If you're looking for a Bears ticket right now, which I'm encouraging you to go to, even at home, or if you live farther away, go to the closest game near you. Use that promo code BEARS, B-E-A-R-S, for $10 off your first purchase on SeatGeek. Alrighty, you're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast. I'm Miros Wildewit. I'm joined by my co-host, Nicholas Moriano, which, by the way, it's great to see you in person.
Yeah, this is we haven't done this since probably last training camp. Maybe it was like a preseason game or something. Or
it's been a while.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time. I know the last time I remember is our live show that we did at the Man Cave last year.
Yep.
I feel like there's been one more since, but it could have been me and Brandon, I think, when we were talking about Chuck Pagano.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, not to get you guys confused yet again.
No, that's okay.
But no, it's really nice to see you here in person. But let's get back to it. Bears defense. Hey, how's it going, Jeff? Want to say hey? Good. Jeff Joniak just walked past here. That's awesome. He didn't want to stop for the podcast. He's busy. He's a busy, busy man. Knew we were running into somebody. Probably going to get kicked out of this spot by tomorrow.
Gone.
Cool. Well, Jeff Joniak, if you heard him in the background, this is his first ever appearance on our podcast. Hopefully not the last. All right, defense.
Let's do defense. Yeah.
All right. Woo, I knew something would happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're in an open space in Howie Hall. I believe that's how you pronounce it. So, hey, so far so good, though.
That's right, just Jeff Joniak.
Yeah, just Jeff Joniak.
All right, defense. Defensive line, for me, initial thought is Bilal Nichols had a lot of reps today over Don Bullard and Roy Robertson-Harris. I didn't see them working the bottom two, Bullard and Robertson-Harris, with the ones all too often. It really seemed like that's Bilal Nichols' job now.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what we expected, just based off of how Bilal Nichols finished and played last season. He was just a guy that was dominant when he got his opportunities. And Roy Robertson-Harris, a guy that I expected to see a little bit more out of, didn't really see number 95 out there doing anything. I mean, it's not that he wasn't there, but just from my vantage point, I guess he just didn't make any standout plays. Not saying that he didn't, but I just didn't see any.
I saw him in the backfield once.
Okay.
I don't know exactly, because again, no pads. So it's really...
It's different, yeah.
Anything in the trenches today, very difficult to gauge. I mean, the entire practice is...
Yeah.
When you're going up against air for half the practice and there's no contact for the other half, we're trying our best here. But defensive line, Akeem Hicks, he seemed to get some veteran time off today.
Yep.
Bilal Nichols, like I mentioned, was starting. Eddie Goldman was out there. But again, when you're playing nose tackle and there's no contact, it's already a very, at least from a vantage point in the middle of the crowd, hard position to gauge, especially without contact. So anything else on the defensive line?
You know, just based off of our vantage point with no pads, it wouldn't be, I guess, helpful to kind of go any more into what we just saw. But that was, again, we'll get a better indication probably tomorrow when they are in pads. Definitely be paying attention to that because today really wasn't the best day to kind of gauge defensive line play.
Yeah, and even when they're doing their one-on-one drills, they were so far away.
So far away, yeah.
Linebackers? Inside or outside?
You know what? Let's go inside because I think we have more on the outside just based off of that pass rush that they were bringing. So the inside guys, again, you alluded to Roquan Smith's speed. I thought Danny Trevathan too. A guy that was just sound as in assignments. There was one, I think it was David Montgomery, shook Danny Trevathan out of shoes. Again, that is a very shifty running back, but that is Danny Trevathan, who is a guy that can stay with some of the better running backs in the league. But I think overall, again, still kind of hard to gauge whether these guys are actually blitzing or without the pads, it's not doing them justice. But for the most part, that's Roquan Smith, that's Danny Trevathan. They're always going to be sound their assignments and make plays on the field.
I mean, they're a pretty strong duo, those two. Looking at the depth, though, Joel Iebuniwe, again, no pads, but he did come out on a few blitzes. It was in the backfield. I think I saw him get a sack on Trubisky today.
Yeah, I think it was like Khalil Mack, Joel Iebuniwe. Way stunt that really got to that offensive line. They were able to get in the back. I think I saw that twice, actually, where it was number 45 and 52 just doing some kind of formation where then they were both in the backfield. So that works.
It does. And on top of that, they didn't do a lot of special teams today, but when he was out there, I thought, Iggy, who we talked about in our last podcast being one of those core special teamers, I think we said he played about 75% of those snaps last year. I mean, he was out there a lot. He's looking fast. He looks confident. I'm actually expecting some decent things from him this year. Again, hopefully he doesn't have to play a lot on defense, but in just general, he looked every bit of the part. He looks a little bit more, I mean, he was like, a fifth-round pick last year?
Fourth-round pick, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you can tell, like, he's a seasoned veteran now. He's really starting to come into his own. But let's bounce outside, because we have a lot on the outside linebackers. I mean, number one, Khalil Mack. First ever training camp practice with the Chicago Bears. Very first play of 7-on-7, and he's in the backfield at Mitch Trubisky's lap in about, what, a second?
1 second, maybe. Yeah, two at the most. But, yeah, Khalil Mack is just a force, and it doesn't matter what play, what kind of, if the run, pass, you know when Khalil Mack is making plays because you just see 52 so often. He was just disrupting plays. There were times in my notes where I have Mitch Trubisky would have gotten killed on that snap, and then I look down, and then my friend tells me, it would have happened again as I'm writing down that Khalil Mack was in the backfield. He is that good. And I know Bobby Massey, that's one tough guy to block. But, yeah, he makes his presence known on a play-to-play basis.
Yeah, I said 7-on-7. Obviously, they're not sending the blitzes on 7-on-7. Mm-hmm. This was team drills 11-on-11. The very next play, too, on 11-on-11, they had Mack with his hand in the dirt on the left side with Leonard Floyd right next to him, which you have Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, and Leonard Floyd overloading one side of the line of scrimmage. That's a nightmare for any team.
Good luck. Honestly, yeah. Good luck with that.
Did you see anything from Leonard Floyd today? I saw him around the ball. Mm-hmm. I saw him in the backfield a few times. I believe he got one sack, or he was close to one. Again, you can't really tell who gets a sack when three different guys touch the quarterback.
Yeah.
It's a little difficult to gauge. But overall, he looked bigger. I think we say that every year. And every year, he does continue to bulk up. But again, I think tomorrow when the pads are on is what I'm really excited to see from a Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, so the times I was like keying on a Leonard Floyd on a specific play, I just wanted to see his hand placement, how he was utilizing it. And for the times I watched, he didn't get to the quarterback. And, you know, it's not going to get to the quarterback every single time. But once those pads come on and you can maybe get inside a tackle's pads and pull him towards you and, you know, do some other counter moves, that's going to be when I want to see Leonard Floyd just make the most of his opportunities. But for the most part, again, I think, like we said, he got to the quarterback maybe once. And we'll see, I guess, tomorrow what he can actually do when the pads are on.
Looking elsewhere in the depth chart in my mind, I'm trying to think. I would say that Fitz looked quicker than he did a year ago. Last year, he just seemed out of place. And this year, it seems like, again, another year. He was a sixth-round pick. He had a lot of potential. I'm excited to see what he can do in the pads are on. He was out there a lot. Same thing with Irving. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Betts from the Canadian College League, U Sport, I think is what it is. He looked clunky and slow. And that's what we talked about. He's a clunky, awkward kind of shaped guy, but who was highly productive in Canada. But I didn't see anything out of him today that's really jumping off. But maybe Shell isn't his strong suit. Maybe once the pad's on, he'll find a way to, you know, make some splash plays. But he just didn't seem like he fit at all today, at least in my opinion. Anything else on the outside, guys?
You know, that's about it. Again, I've said this many times in this podcast already, but tomorrow's going to be a good indication of what this defense can really do. Because I think when you put on the pads, it's obviously going to help them when they can, you know, impose their physical will or do, you know, different types of moves. But, yeah, I think now we go to those cornerbacks, yeah. Safeties, nickel corners.
Yeah, we'll start with the secondary. Let's do corner and then safety.
Yeah.
Corner first. No surprises from the starting unit. Even, I would say, a Buster Screen. Actually looked pretty decent, pretty physical overall. But when I'm looking at the second string corners, right, you're looking at Duke Shelley out there in the nickel. And then when you're looking on the outside, you had Kevin Tolliver. And then you even had, I think I saw John Franklin out there with the twos, a little bit more than a Michael Joseph. Did that surprise you?
You know what? A little bit initially, especially because we thought Michael Joseph last year had a pretty decent camp. But, yeah, and John Franklin had the opposite of that. But Mincy definitely got burned later in the camp. I forget which wide receiver got him. But, not too surprising there with the cornerback depth, but you mentioned Buster Screen. That was a guy that was really focusing on in this camp just to see if he could stick with the receivers. Look, for the most part, Anthony Miller, when he got to that first string defense, there wasn't a lot of targets his way, and there were times where Buster Screen I thought was in pretty good coverage, and then there were times where had maybe the quarterback thrown the ball to Anthony Miller, it would have been a completion. But for the most part, I think Buster Screen stayed with his guy, mostly in the slot, but I did see him move outside when a Cordell Patterson was guarding him. And that even moved down to, you know, his backup, Duke Shelley, who obviously we have, I guess, history with Duke Shelley with his video that he made. But, again, he showed why he's been getting some good talks just from rookie minicamp and minicamp earlier. He's able to stay with guys, and that's what you want to have in that nickel corner position.
I thought Kevin Tolliver is looking like he's progressing. He's coming along very well. I had a few notes down jotted of just him being in good overall coverage, which is a guy where last year you said, you know, keep everyone in front of you. I thought he was playing a little bit more aggressively than we saw last year. I think he's a little bit more confident at his position, confident in his role on this defense. So to me, that'd be something that I hope translates over to the preseason. And then other than that, I think we kind of hit on all the guys. Michael Joseph, I had he got burned by Ives, number 14.
That's right, Ives. Good job, Ives.
Yeah, it was a little on the right side of our view. It was like a little out and up route, and just blew Ives just blew right past him, and it was like not even close, about 8 to 10 yards of separation. But I don't think we need a nitpick on like the third to fourth string corners here.
Very true. Very true.
Moving over to safeties, Eddie Jackson is Eddie Jackson. Deion Bush, look every part of Deion Bush. If you're wondering, ha-ha, Clinton Dix, don't forget he is on the PUP list to begin the training camp, even though I did see him jogging around the field off and on. So even though he's dealing with that injury, I don't think it's overly serious. I think they're just being overly cautious.
Yeah, and they did say today's, I think it was the Bears account, or someone tweeted out that Hoglin-Dix is looking like he's more closely going to be on this practice field at some point. So, again, good indication to have Hoglin-Dix getting better and hopefully back on the practice squad soon. But, yeah, Deion Bush, I thought, again, there was no big plays that really happened. Not with the starting defense, really. And if anything, it was maybe isolated on a corner, a one-on-one, but not really like the safety's fault for getting over late. And I think that's what you want to have out of your safeties. When we were passing by the camp, we noticed that there was like a petting zoo or some kind. There were animals on there. And I'm like, oh, speaking of animals, I think there's a duck.
There's a duck.
And there's also a good play from backup safety Clifton Duck, number 38. Had a good pass breakup, but I thought that was kind of funny that the animals there reminded me of one of the players there.
Speaking of 38, did you have any flashbacks of people like you think, oh, there's Adrian Amos? You're like, oh, nope.
No, yeah, there were. I mean, the Ben Broniker one got me for a second.
You mean the Daniel Brown?
Daniel Brown was
because Broniker
is now 82
that's
with
right,
84
that's right.
And Cordell Patterson. Like, where's Ben Broniker in? But, yeah, I think for the most part I had a good indication of who was on the practice field.
All right, I think we should wrap up special teams, and I think the only thing we need to even talk about today is the Bears kicking competition. Only one kicker kicked today. His name is Elliot Fry, just in case you need a reminder. Number eight. Elliot Fry. He went 7 of 8.
Could have sworn. From our vantage point, we're on the side of you looking at the field goal. Thought he went 8 for 8, but it was impressive to watch. Everybody's watching him, and he goes 7 for 8 with that last field goal being a 60-yarder.
60-yarder, guys. Elliot Fry, he had some wind at his back, but he's someone who we've heard doesn't have the range, doesn't have the length, doesn't have the leg. And there he goes, hitting a 60-yarder. And when he was 7 of 8, what they did is like move back like 3 to 5 yards every time. I didn't have enough time to jot down all of the yard markers, but sort of like a 25 or 30-yard kick and then move back all the way. But he was, most part, down the middle, very accurate. On 2-minute drills, when they're trying to get into field goal range, he was 1 of 2, and I think he had about a 48-yarder on the one that he hit, and I think that the miss was a little bit shorter. But overall, today, again, no Pinheiro. So today, even though it's Saturday, Nick, it was Friday.
Yeah, your tweet there, you got us. It is Friday, and I think that, look, the Bears fans were happy to see that. They were cheering so loudly just to see that football go through the uprights and not have a double doink. I mean, that's encouraging to see. It's only the first day of camp, and with Elliot Fry, it was more so – again, like you said, he needed to work on his strength, but he had that consistency. We saw the consistency today.
We did. We saw the consistency. Did you in your area seem like, okay, so as soon as I heard a coach yell, field goal, everyone got squirmy. Like all the Bears fans, maybe 10,000 Bears fans today? I don't have the official number, but there's a lot of people. But everyone got real squirmy. Everyone got nervous. And I think for the most part, there are a few people who talk, but the Augusta silence, like the fans really bought into that because everyone's like, shh, 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 shh.
Yeah, no, I mean, when people said field goal, everyone's like, oh, here we go. And then when they're about to kick, you know, kind of building up the anticipation. What is this guy going to do under pressure? Obviously, this is a training camp. This isn't a game. We'll see how it comes to fruition later on, but it was a good outing from Elliot Fry to start off the training camp.
When I'm sitting about 50 yards away from the kick and I can hear the thud of his foot against that ball, you know, it's with 10,000 plus people here, it's a pretty quiet atmosphere.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, I think let's just wrap up, just final thoughts on the entire day, and let's close the book on day one and look forward to day two.
Yeah, I'm really encouraged to see what the offense did on day one, especially just having the basis for last year and how it started off. Mitch Trubisky looked good. He was on point with his passes. He got his playmakers involved. And that's what you want to see from Matt Nagy in this offense going into year two. And then defensively, when you have guys like Khalil Mack who are making impact plays on day one, and then you have a guy like Duke Shelley who's also staying consistently with his receiver, that's encouraging to see. But I think overall it was a good competitive day from this Bears team, and now we're only going to get the pads, and it's only going to get even more competitive from there.
It felt fairly even, didn't it? Like, yeah, the entire practice, like back and forth, not one side dominated the other, which I think we know how talented this team is, but to see the back and forth, the teeter-totter of good plays going in one area, like it's, the defense had one good stand.
Oh, yeah.
Three plays in a row were a sack. Then on the following one, Trubisky was able to take one sack and work his way through from like a third and 20 and was able to convert on for a fourth and two, and they were able to get that. It was Trubisky to Turbo on that. So to see, you know, the teeter-totter, the seesaw, the back and forth, to me, very encouraging because we just know how talented it is. And if the defense was still overpowering the offense, I think I would actually have some concerns at this point because we expect more from the offense this year. But one last thing at Trubisky, I was going through my notes. I have Trubisky is hitting, and I'm quoting myself here, all the throws. Like, he was hitting the short ones, he was hitting the deep ball. He looked accurate today, and I think if that's the one takeaway you take from the show, that our quarterback is confident, he's playing in the system, he's playing with his instincts, his mechanics look improved, that's a lot of excitement to kind of build the rest of this team around. But I think that's going to do it for me today. I can't wait for the pads to come on tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be an exciting day tomorrow.
Don't forget, if you want to get in a free Bears jersey giveaway, leave a review of our show on Apple Podcasts. Help show your appreciation for our show. Me driving 8 hours to get here this morning, Nick driving a couple, and we'll be back here tomorrow as well. I think I'm hitting, you got what, the first two practices? Is that what you're doing?
I think I'll be here on, yeah, first two, and then we'll see how it kind of goes from there with the work schedule.
All right, I'm hoping to be here for the first five practices this year, so hopefully you enjoyed this episode of the Chicago Audible, our day one camp report. It went almost twice the length than I thought we would get, but that's what we do. We just get talking. We had Jeff Joniak pop in for a quick second. He may have said a word that caught on the mic. I don't know. But until next time, Bear Down, Chicago.